Welcome to Lessons from Last Time. I am Ken Perry, and this is Kirk Faulkner. And this week is going to be super interesting because normally we bring somebody in that either both of us know, or who I know, or who you know. And this is somebody new to us. This is Jordan Nutter, who was introduced by Dave Savage, who said, you have to get this person on your podcast. And I have heard about you plenty. You've kind of hit the ground running and hit the mortgage industry with force. And our first interview was somebody who lives in a van down by the river. Actually, the second interview of who lives in a van, but down by the river. So, Jordan, thank you for joining us today. Good to have you.
Of course. Well, I appreciate both of you for having me, and I'm excited for the show today.
Awesome. So let's start with living in a van down by the river. I mean, I know that's present time, but explain what's happening with your world.
So right now myself, my husband and our daughter, we took on a very fun and exciting and daunting challenge of moving into essentially a 40-foot RV that's fully branded. So it looks like a tour bus. It's a little insane. And we have decided to travel around the U.S. to bring financial literacy to communities in need. So we started off in California. At the time of this recording, we are currently in Louisiana to make our way to Alabama for a class that I have tomorrow, actually. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And we're going to continue on for the next about 5 months or so and finish out essentially a big circle around the U.S.
Wow.
So it's an incredible story. And I want to come back to that part of the story, but let's go back to how you got to doing what you're doing today. Let's go back to what attracted you to this business. What you got into the business, you said, in 2019.
Yep, 2019.
What was the impetus behind that?
So funny enough, I kind of stumbled into it. I feel like when I talk to people, that's their stories, like, oh, I wasn't really looking to get into mortgages. It just kind of happened. And that's very similar to me. So funny enough, I at the time was working three jobs. I was living in California. So I'm sure you can both imagine how expensive, California is. And was working three jobs. My husband at the time was working a couple jobs, and we were just like surviving in California. And I went out to Atlanta for a work trip. I was selling curtain rods as one of my jobs at the time. Yeah, I sold curtain rods to like JCPenney and like Macy's. It was
wholesale curtain rods.
Not the most exciting thing, I'll tell you that. It was not. But I happened to be in Atlanta, and a friend of a friend was in the mortgage industry, and she had mentioned how she was looking to, you know, bring some more people on. And I came home and I was telling my husband about the meeting, and he's like, why don't you just reach out and see? And I'm like, I don't know anything about mortgages. Like, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I've sold all my entire life, so I know how to sell, but I don't know anything about mortgages. And an email and a couple meetings, and I was like, okay, here we go. And I took my test, I passed, and 2 months later, I moved all the way to Atlanta.
You know, what's amazing about your story, Jordan, I think this is episode number 53 or 54 of the podcast, something like that. And not every single one has been a mortgage professional, but most of them. And of every single mortgage professional we've interviewed, not one of them or us can really fully explain how we got in the mortgage business. Just that we ended up here somehow. And it's always the same hilarious story that I don't really know. I just a friend of a friend, or, you know, it's always a great introduction. Because of your age, using new technology was not new to you as you explored this new business, this new opportunity. Yes.
Right. It's, you know, I've always used, I kind of grew up in that world of, you know, as growing up, no technology. And then I transitioned into like most millennials, where we got the cell phones and the computers, and we started to learn how to use social media. And, you know, I dabbled in it when I first started in my business, but I really started, like, I door knocked and went to open houses, and like, I learned the traditional way of marketing because of the people that I was surrounded with at the branch I worked at the time. So I did the traditional run-of-the-mill marketing that we're used to when I started in the business, actually.
Can I ask you, so when you got in, you kind of looked around, you're like, how is everybody doing it? And you just fell into how everybody's doing it. Was that, you just kind of like, okay, well, this is how it seems to be done.
Yeah. So because I moved from, again, California to Atlanta. And so in the South, they're very much, we want to work with the people that are here. We want to work with the locals that are part of the community, which I love. But because I was essentially an outsider, I had to really dive into the community and like on the Chamber of Commerce and the Boys and Girls Club and working with different charities and going to open houses and just trying to embrace the community and involve myself as much as possible, which I loved. And when we finish with this trip, I'll be able to do again. But that's really how I started, because that's what felt one I wanted to do, because I love people and I get to interact with them. But also, again, in the South, it was one of those, like, we have to know who you are. And I changed my phone number. I have a Atlanta number now. I couldn't have my California number because no one would pick up the phone. But yeah, that's essentially how I started before I really got into social media for my business.
I was just thinking about that, how different it is now. When I first moved I was from California and I moved up to the Northwest, and I definitely couldn't keep my California phone number. I had to go to a Northwest one, but then it was, we're on the border of Oregon and Washington. I was like, well, if I go to Washington, all the Oregonians will hate me. If I go to Oregon, all the Washingtonians will hate me. And so back then it was a big deal. I don't think it's that way now, but I guess in the South, you still have that, especially coming from California to Atlanta, or especially if you get into Alabama, I could see that being an issue.
Oh yeah. So, and I think, you know, having a California at the time, still there's so many spam calls, but at the time, you know, there was a substantial amount of spam calls. So I would just have to leave message after message. So I was like, I got to change it. So now I have a Atlanta number.
What's fascinating too, though, is a lot of people, let's just call me old school and you new school, for the sake of the obvious. You embrace the old school ideas, right, because that's what you were taught, and you didn't resist them. You didn't say, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're going to do these archaic things like go to an open house or go out and networking. And very quickly, you utilized your awareness and exposure to new media to your advantage, but you didn't, you really connected with the community by going old school, at least initially, yeah?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, you know, when you're going into something new, you have to fully embrace we're not recreating the wheel, okay? There's been hundreds of thousands of millions of loan officers. And if they're successful, they've done something right. So thankfully, the branch at the time that I was with, and I was working with very seasoned loan officers, and I was able to pick all of their brains and get an understanding of, okay, this one does it this way, and so on and so forth. I mean, still to this day, every single closing gets a handwritten letter from me. Every single closing, both the buy side agent, list side agent, and the buyer themselves. To this day, they will always get, I still send out birthday cards to all of my agents, everything that I can possibly do. I understand it's not, you know, maybe the most efficient way to do it, but everyone gets spam mail now. And it's really nice to open up something and it's a surprise. And even if it's just a thank you card and an appreciation, or I'm thinking about you on your birthday, still to this day, I mean, I probably send out 400 cards a year between everything.
Great practice.
We just had a conversation this morning about how people get in the industry and how they receive training. So how much of what you were doing did you learn from other people telling you to do it? And how much of it were you like, I think I might do this, just out of your own head?
So pretty much at the beginning, that first, because I started at the end, I started November, officially November of 2019, and then COVID hit in March. So for pretty much all of 2020, because we didn't go anywhere really, I got to sit next to and hear, okay, this is how, because we had a pretty decent sized office that everyone could kind of separate themselves from. But I would hear people's conversations like, oh, this is how they structure that type of loan with this type of borrower. And I would always pull a little bit from everybody and figure out, does that resonate with how I want to present myself and how I speak to my clients? And if not, can I tweak it a little bit? So it feels very authentic to who I am. And so at the beginning, yes, 100%. Like I learned everything from all of the people at my branch. And I just, I guess, took a little bit from each of them to find a way to make it truly resonate with me and how I do business.
So what was the evolution from that beginnings of a very traditional loan officer? You could have been in my era, for heaven's sakes. I sat down when I first started and wrote out 200 cards saying, hey, and they're all the personal friends. Hey, I'm got in the mortgage business. If you or anyone you know needs to buy a refi, let me know. And I'd throw a card in there. And that was it. Licked a stamp and put it in the mail. I love that you did that. But very quickly, I think you recognize the power, the influence of video and social media marketing. So tell me how you kind of started going down that path.
Sure. So I started when I started in mortgage, I did get social media pages and I would post like the generic content that the marketing department would put out for, you know, every company has one. And there was nothing wrong with that, but it didn't feel authentic to me. I wasn't making it and I didn't put it together and there was nothing wrong with it, but it didn't feel true from who I was. And so I was like, okay, well, I need to start making some videos. And I would just say, oh, I'm going to this open house or I'm doing this. It'd just be little bits to try to get my feet and again, put my face out there and try to get people to see who I was and recognize who I was and want to work with me. And as that started, I was like, okay, great. You know, still doing my thing with the traditional marketing. And we obviously were quite busy at the time because the rates then took a big drop. But I actually started getting all of these clients that I would talk to that had pretty out there stories. And we've all had those types of borrowers. And I remember I was in the car. I tried calling them the day before on Friday and they wouldn't answer. And I was out shopping. It was a Saturday afternoon and I got a phone call and they were a couple that collectively made $19 an hour and they were trying to buy a $1 million home. And they were adamant that I had to talk to them at that point because they needed to go see this home this afternoon. Had the phone call and I explained to them, unfortunately, that wouldn't work. We couldn't qualify them. And I was essentially chewed out that I didn't know what I was talking about and so on and so forth. And I was so frustrated on that call. I was like, oh my goodness, like, what is happening right now? And I made a video very shortly after that phone call and because I was just so upset. And I was like, I'm just going to reenact this phone call. And I did. And it blew up. And I obviously changed a bunch of names and everything essentially with the call. But I sent that and I was like, oh, okay, what's going on now? Like all of these people are looking at this. And I had made, a few videos beforehand. And now I was like, okay, we have to keep going. And from that, just it essentially snowballed from there where I then started making these skits and I started making more educational content and I tried to figure out who my audience was and how to cater to the needs. So it was just like a random phone call with two borrowers that told me I didn't know what I was doing that prompted me to really, I guess, roll on social media and now we're here.
Okay. So first of all, in 2006, we could do that person's loan. So you don't know this, but before you came along, that loan was stated income all day long, 80-20, no problem. But secondly, I think this is so fascinating because people talk about, you know, Frank and Brian. I don't know if you know Frank and Brian, but they're a National Real Estate Post. And I can remember they did an appraisal video that was about this appraisal regulation that was super dumb. And they did this video that just blew the whole thing up. And that video like launched them into this fame where it's like, oh, we're getting booked to do all these things all of a sudden. It was like that one thing that they did. And so you had a similar experience. Do you remember like watching the views come in and just like, oh, dang, I must have done something right?
Oh, 100%. I made that video while I was at work and I posted it in the afternoon, not thinking anything of it. I got home. And I was like, what is happening right now? That can't be right. And I refreshed the page and I was like, it's 30,000 views.
Oh my God.
I've had maybe 300 views max, but 30,000. And I was like, okay, it's fine. Like, it's not a big deal. It was one video. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning. It had 1 million views. Oh, and I had 30,000 followers. And I was like, okay. Now I don't know what to do, but I have to do something. I have to do something. Like, people were out of messaging me. Can you help me? What about this? And funny enough, I actually had pre-booked, if you're familiar with Glenda Baker, she's out of Atlanta. She's a very well-known real estate agent on social media. And I actually had a meeting, well, it was a conference that she was going to be speaking on, the panel that happened 2 days after I posted this video. And so I was like, oh, maybe I can just get Glenda for like 1 second. I could just ask her, like, I don't know what to do. This happened. And she was so kind, actually. I did get to speak to her. And I was like, I have no idea what to do. Can you please help me? And she's like, you're just not going to be able to answer everybody. And that's okay. Like, you can't let it overtake you. And don't check it all day. Like, just try to answer as many people. And she was really wonderful. And that helped, like, ease my stress and my anxiety a little bit about it. But that was the one that prompted me to go, okay, we might have something here.
Is there a correlation between, I know that the couple that called you was difficult to work with, but they were difficult to work with because they just didn't understand what goes into getting a mortgage completed. One of the things that stuck out when you and I talked was your love for, maybe that's not the right word, but your desire to help with people who are kind of overlooked, who are mostly on the outside looking in, and that other mortgage professionals might not take the time to spend any time with them to really understand their story. Is that related to that call, or is that just kind of a happy coincidence?
So when I moved to Atlanta, none of the agents wanted to work with me because obviously I was brand new. I just moved there from California. And so I asked them, if you will just trust me with the borrowers that nobody wants to work with, I will take the credit challenge, no down payment. Like, I'll take anybody. Just let me show you. And that's what happened in this instance, that I had a agent who I was trying to work with over about a year. And this was one of her clients that she got sent on Zillow or somewhere and was like, hey, they really want to go see this house. And, you know, it's $1 million and I want to show it to them. So will you, you know, this is your shot. Like, these are the borrowers I'm going to give you. And I'm like, great, cool. There we go. It's taken a year and I finally got somebody. And then it just ended up being, there's a lot more to that story, but yes. That's essentially how the two end up being, very similar to each other's, because I started working with the more credit challenged and people without a down payment or very little funds available. So that's how that borrower came about.
But that quickly turned from, I'm going to ask from a referral standpoint, I don't maybe deserve your A or B clients. I'm new here and I'm not from the area. So give me your C and D clients. But that really quickly turned into, I've got a real genuine heart for people who feel like they're on the outside looking in. And I want to be that loan officer who will help anybody. Of course, you'll take a 800 credit score, 20% down conventional buyer. But I really want to make a difference in these people's lives. I want to be a contributor to their understanding, their education, and hopefully their success in getting a home loan. Where does that come from for you?
So for me, I've always had like a soft spot for people that are kind of overlooked. And I feel like that's very much brought on by in the Midwest, by my parents, and just raised me. And it was always like, we give the shirt off of our back to somebody in need. Like, if somebody needs any sort of help, like if we have the means to do so, we should help them. So I'm very grateful that was how I was brought up, and that continued on into my adult life. And thankfully, you know, being in this profession, I'm able to help people that are in need, whether they're the 800 credit score and they don't need their hand held and they know how their credit works and everything's good, or it's the 580 borrower that's struggling and coming out of a relationship and doesn't know how to properly pay a credit card and needs help with a down payment. So it's definitely from just the way that I was raised, thankfully, and it's continued to go through my adult life.
I want to know about the feelings of, you know, you get all of those people, a million views is insane. Mm-hmm. Most people would never get there. Emotionally, how did you deal with that? And how do you deal with, oh, I'm something, you know, were you just humble and you're just like, it's not much me? Because it seems like it could spike you and like, every video I do now, I'm getting quite a few views on, I must be something really cool.
So when I got the million, I cried. I woke up and I just started crying and I was like, I don't know what this means. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea, but this was insane. And I'm so grateful. And it just takes one video. It's one video by a whim that I decided to make. And I'm so glad at my past self that I decided to do that. But it's interesting because and this is a lot with essentially anything that I've done in business, I'll make goals and I'll get them and I'm like, okay, great. Pat on the back. Now let's keep going. There's more to do. So I hit that and I was like, I don't really know where to go from here, but I know that I have to keep making content because I must've done something right in this video that people liked it. So we got to figure out what that was and sit down and write out some ideas and keep rolling with it. And still to this day, you know, I'll get a video and I'm like, okay, great. I got 100,000 views, but the next one, I need to get some more. Like I need the next one to be better. I need it to hit more people. I need it to help more people. And could I have done that one better? So it's a constant, like, yes, I'm doing good, but I have to always continue to do better and do more because there's so many more people that need to be reached and helped out and educated. So it's this balance of staying humble, but acknowledging my accomplishments. And so it's an interesting balancing act, I would say.
Well, it's funny because pre the million views, when you were getting like, you know, 300, maybe if somebody said you could get 100,000 views, you'd be like, that would be the ultimate success. Like, I can't even imagine a day. And now you're like, 100? I mean, really? Like, I don't get out of bed for less than 100,000 views. Like, it changes your, I guess, belief in what you can do almost.
Right. And I love that because it pushes internally, it pushes me to do more and want to be better and go out there and put the content. But the caveat to that is when I'm coaching clients or speaking to different brokerages, and they're like, well, Jordan, you know, you get 100,000 views or 50,000 views, and that's not a big deal. But, you know, what if I only get 300? And I'm like, that's okay. That there is nothing wrong with 300. 300 means you have 300 people that you touched in some way, shape, or form for long enough for them to watch your video for X amount of time. And that's fantastic. It takes time to grow. It's a very rare occasion that it happens overnight, but it takes time for people still to this day, for people to find me and want to follow me and see what it is that I'm doing and trust me. So I think it very much depends on where you are in your career or your path in, especially something new. If you're deciding to get into social media, not to be discouraged because you're not getting all of the likes or the views that you think you should, because you're following one of the big creators and you're like, but they get 100,000 views. Well, they've also been doing it. I'm on year almost three now of doing social media. So it is a bit different than somebody who's 3 weeks or 3 months into it.
If you are watching this podcast and you're in the mortgage industry and you haven't checked out the Knowledge Coop, you definitely need to dive into the Knowledge Coop. In there, you will find content and community that will help you grow as an individual by learning everything there is to know about the mortgage industry. If you think you know everything, just dive in and take some classes because there's always something more you can learn. To be successful in this business, you've got to continually learn. In addition, if you're a company and you want to teach your people in your own environment, we've got that in the Knowledge Coop Enterprise Services. So reach out to us, check out knowledgecoop.com. Definitely join Coop Plus. Let's get back to the podcast.
We were having a conversation here earlier this morning about our products and services and how we do the best job we can do of telling the marketplace about all that we have to offer. And I was being asked about my experience back in the day as a loan originator and what I needed. Well, what I didn't need, I got into the business at 40 and I had a fairly successful sales career. So sales training, I had a high comfort level with making sales calls and being engaged in that process and putting myself out there. I'm guessing, knowing a little bit about your background, that one of the advantages you had in creating content and going straight to video was that you were very comfortable on camera, yeah? You had no problem doing that.
I was comfortable. I still, to this day, I don't like listening to myself.
Who does?
Like my husband, I can't film in front of him because it just like, it makes me nervous for some reason. So I can sit here all day and film by myself for hours and hours, but filming in front of him still, I'm like, can you just go in the other room or can you put headphones on or something? But it was a bit easier for me to film, but I still at the very beginning was like, oh, my hair is out of place or, you know, my glasses were smudged or my lipstick. And I was like, just forget about it. Like it took me a while to be like, we have to just let it go. It's okay. No one's going to call you out on your hair or your makeup. And if they do, then they're not the ones who should be watching your videos.
I got a really funny compliment from my wife one time. I was like, oh, I got to shoot this video. So I ran out on the back deck and I shot the video from my back deck. I come back inside. My wife goes, I love your confidence. And I go, really? And she goes, yeah, just the fact that you would go on camera looking like that. Just, you have so much confidence. And I'm like, oh no. But you can't, like, one of my best videos that blew up, I had stopped running out for my morning run. And I pulled over to the side of the trail. I'm like, I need to shoot this video. And I didn't think about the fact that I look horrible. And it got so many views. And you just have to let go of that because nobody, they care about the content you're delivering. They don't care about the look that they're seeing. And you can, if you have bad content and you look horrible, you're just not going to get your family, right? Five people. But
yeah.
It's more about the content you're delivering that people will follow and go, okay, I really like this person, regardless of whether a hair's out of place or a stupid chia seed or whatever ends up in a tooth. But yeah, it's so funny.
Oh yeah. You just have to think about what it is that you're putting out there, the message, and not worry about, which I know is difficult, but we are, I feel, our own worst critics. And that's what we're putting on ourselves. It's not anyone that's like, oh, Jordan, you can't do that. Or I mean, now there's people that post the comments and you got to get over it. It just,
how do you get over it? Cause that's the hardest part for me is reading. One person can spin me just if they say something that just digs into something I'm insecure about. How do you do it? How do you deal with it?
So it normally goes one of two ways and it actually depends on my mood. I'm sure most people can agree to this, but I'll look at it and I will either say, if I'm in a good mood, I'll be like, okay, that wasn't nice, whatever it is that they said, but they must have something going on in their lives. There has to be something, maybe they had a really hard day and this is how they feel that they can vent and get it out. And they need to put that frustration into something else. And this is their outlet. And you know, it's nothing personal to me. I have no idea who this person is. So I should never let it affect me because it means nothing. You know, that's all on them. If I'm not in the best mood or it's the end of the month and I've got, you know, fire files going left and right, then there's that part of me that wants to go, really? That's what you want to say to me? And I want to like make a response video. Which sometimes I do, but it's still always very like very neutral, but with a little bit of sarcasm in there. And most of the time I won't post it. I'll just like save it and I'll watch it back. But like, I got it out of my system. So it normally depends on the mood, but most of the time I'm just like, maybe you're just having a bad day. And I hate that you feel that that's the way you have to put it out there and like get that off of your chest. And, but you know, that's not on me. It has nothing to do personally. It's not geared towards me. And that's a reflection on that person. So it's, yeah, it definitely depends on the day.
I love that you're self-aware enough to know that when you're not in a good space to respond, that you still make a video for your own catharsis, right? You can just get it out there and watch it and get that release. And
yeah, I get it out move and I on. Like, I won't post it. Or if I post it, it's like a private, only me. And I'm like, okay, I got it out because it's just done. I got that out of my system and we're good to go.
I had a moment this morning where I'm driving to the gym and the guy behind me, I can tell, wants to go faster than I'm going. I'm going 40 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone. And I'm about to turn left at the light up there and he won't get over to the right. He just decides to ride my bumper. And then he backs off a little bit. And just when I turn my blinker on to get in the left lane, he just charges at me. And he was about to hit me right as I got over. He barely missed me. And my thought, when I look over, I just kind of glanced over and saw him, and it's a dude. And I thought, imagine being his wife. Like, that guy cannot, I mean, I'm going to drive away and never see the guy again, but his family has to deal with that every day. And so I kind of went that route. Like, I at least can walk away from this guy and he's not going to troll me. He's not going to, you know, but other people have to deal with that. So I'm trying to come up with new and clever ways to deal with it. Cause it can be, you're totally right. It's based on the mood. Like in some moods, I just want to be like, I just fume about it and want to go crazy, but you got to be careful with it.
Yeah, you do. Like, there'll be times, I don't know, there was a time where somebody was, because a lot of times I talk with my hands. So most of my videos, I make a very conscious effort to keep them out of frame or try not to move them a ton or keep like just my arms on the table so that my hands stay below camera. And for whatever reason, that video, I was moving them a lot. And he's like, can we not with the hands? Like, it's a little excessive. Oh, and I was like, I did respond back. I said, you know, when I'm very passionate about a topic, my hands tend to just go and do whatever it is that they please, but I'll keep a mental note for next time. I appreciate the comment.
Nice. And maybe you could just close your eyes and listen to the content and see if it was meaningful. Yeah.
So I want to know, you moved to NFM and I know that NFM is very unique and that they really respect the influencer mentality and you've got like an influencer department. It's got to be so much easier to work around other people doing similar things and, you know, throw ideas back and forth and be part of it. I think it would be difficult to do what you do in an environment where you're the only one doing it just because nobody understands you in the whole office.
Yeah, because when I started with going full in on content, I wasn't working for NFM. And the company I was working for didn't have anything against it, but there was no support. And I was like, I don't know how, like, are these ideas good enough? Like, can I bounce them off of anybody? And that just wasn't possible. And then on top of that, the amount of leads that I was getting brought in, and I was like, I don't know, like, I don't have any help. I don't know what to do with these. They're not in my states. And how do I get these people help? And so I'm so grateful that Greg Scher reached out to me from NFM, and he had actually reached out months prior. And I was like, I don't know. It's, you know, mortgages changing. It's very difficult to do that. And finally I made the move over and I tell Greg all the time, I'm so grateful that you kept on me and you asked me to come over, because there's no way that I would have been able to survive in 2023 at the rate that I did, because as much as I get leads from my states, there are so many people that reach out from other states that I am not licensed in. So we have a wonderful back-end team that's able to assist with those. And I'm so glad that we have that, because of, you know, the Creator Collective is what we rebranded it. And so that's our division. And I'm so grateful for like both the back-end team and then also the content creators, because there'll be days where I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work, and I'll bounce it off in the chat. And they're like, I think that would, you know, I think if you tweak it for this or you do that. And it's really great to be able to have that support, because it's, you know, it feels, creating content is a very lonely world, you know, we're social, we're on socials. There's all these people that like and comment and share, which is great, but it's not, you know, with you. It's not, you're not having these one-on-one conversations. So it can get really lonely. So I'm glad that we have the team that we do because we have so much support.
It strikes me, Jordan, there's so much that goes into the path that you've created for yourself. And I'm an old football guy, so I like to say that you began with blocking and tackling, though. You began very simply and fundamentally. You learned the business. You went out and engaged with realtors at open houses. You did the things that if anyone did, they could find a level of success. Now, grant you, in 2023, that level of success would be limited because the opportunities, the number of transactions available is limited. But I love that you not only found a way to be successful consistent with your, you know, your demographic, you embrace social media, you embrace being a content creator. You had some extraordinary success in part because you just did it. You made a video and put it out there. And then because you're comfortable on camera, because it resonated, it turned into this monstrous success. But you had the underpinnings behind that of doing the things that make anyone successful, whether or not they ever engage in social media, which would be crazy in the current market that we're in. But and then you also recognize within yourself that you have this passion and compassion for people who don't maybe understand the process or feel on the outside looking in. So empathy, which I think is a superpower, seems to be a part of your DNA, part of your makeup. All of that seems to have contributed to put you where you are today, which is not just a content creator and influencer, but a well-rounded mortgage professional.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm very grateful for the people that I've been able to meet in, you know, this business and just the way I was brought up. I mean, I feel like it's just a multitude of things, but I've been very, very lucky and fortunate to surround myself with some really amazing people in this industry to help me better build my business and my skills so I can be the best loan officer that I possibly can to my clients. Because at the end of the day, everyone that has the dream of getting into a home should be able to look at trying to accomplish that dream, whether they have a 600 score, an 800 score, they have 20% down, they have 0% down. It really just takes proper education to understand how, with my criteria and in the circumstances that I'm in, can I make this goal achievable? What do I have to tweak to accomplish this? And that's really my goal with doing mortgages, is how can we structure your file to not only qualify, but to also make sure that you're comfortable? Because, you know, you can give me a budget and say, this is the max, and I can structure it 100%. But, you know, if the housing market doesn't fit with that, how can we adjust that? And how can I educate you to figure out, do we have to maneuver where our search is, or do we have to maneuver our budget, or what is it that we have to essentially do to make sure that you're comfortable getting into the home that you're wanting? So I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've had and the people I've been able to meet to help build those skills.
If you had to go back, like, to bring some lessons from when you started doing video, because I know a lot of people are now moving more into video, what are some of the two or three things you would have done differently knowing what you know now in 19 when you got that video out?
So doing something different now, well, back then, I would have made the content and not been so harsh on myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I talk to other creators, that's one of their top things that we always talk about. And, you know, you could tell somebody, but until they experience it, you know, it's like they have to kind of go through it, which is understandable. But if I could talk to myself 4 years ago and say, hey, just do it, just make the videos, and it's okay if people say something about you, because you're just going to be able to brush it off. I promise you, it won't matter. It's not any on you. So definitely getting out of that headspace of people are going to make fun of me, or they're not going to care about what I say, or, you know, that's probably the biggest hindrance at the time for me not making the content as probably quickly as I could have, or putting out as much content as I should have at the time, because that was a big wall that I had to overcome. So that's definitely one that I run into a lot. And then I didn't know where to start, but I also didn't do a ton of research. And now, you know, 3 years plus into it, there's so many more creators. There's accounts that are out there that talk about how to do hooks and how to do research and where to find content. And there's so much more available now. So making the excuse of, well, I don't really know what to start, or I don't know what to do. There's so many accounts that you can very easily look up and do quick searches on TikTok or YouTube or wherever the platforms are that you're looking to get into, and not making that excuse to hold you back from starting on socials.
You know, you're on this amazing adventure. You're in Louisiana now, I think you said, and you're headed to Alabama. One day in the not too distant future, I imagine you and your husband and your child will be back in a home somewhere, and, you know, back on with a yard and a
white picket fence.
Exactly. White picket fence and all that fun stuff. What are the things you hope to take back with you from this experience? Because you're not just, I mean, you're on the road and you're creating content on the road, which is its cool idea in and of itself. But you get the best of both worlds because you're connecting with humans while you're out on the road, too. You're not just in a virtual setting on camera. You're out speaking and doing presentations and meeting people. You're connecting with humans. So when you're done, if you could write the script, what's the thing you want to take away from this experience?
So when we're done, the goal would be to go back to Georgia and really plant our roots there. You know, we had them before, but move and the trip and all of that, and really getting back into the community and trying to push the education aspect of this trip into the different communities, the school systems, trying to push that more, because what I'm realizing by making the content and talking with people that, yes, there are certain school districts and areas that are leaning into a bit more of, okay, in our high schools, we'll offer maybe a financial literacy, but it's not required. And some schools are like, well, we're trying to get it passed. And so I really would like to have, by the end of this, a little bit more dive into the communities of, hey, can we start implementing more financial literacy into our school systems? And I would also just like to get back into the community, because I miss going and working with the Boys and Girls Club and the Chamber of Commerce. Like I love that I get to meet people from all over the country, but I miss that routine and that community that I'm used to seeing. So I'm hoping that when we finish this, I get to bring some of what I'm learning on the trip back into what I call home.
Perfect. Well, Jordan, I can't tell you how much we appreciate having you here on the show today. And I guess I'm guessing there's going to be no small number of people who are fascinated by you and your story. If people wanted to get a hold of you or find out more about you, how would they go about doing that?
So all of my socials are A Nutter Home Loan. So a play on words.
A Nutter Home Loan. Yep. I see what you did there. Mm-hmm.
So A Nutter Home Loan. And if you're wanting to look at where I'm at, where I'm currently at on the map, there's mobilemortgagemom.com, and there's a Where's Jordan, and it tells you where I'll be over the next 6 months. And if you're a local, you know, nonprofit or you work in the school systems or anything like that, and you would love for me to come, you know, speak on financial literacy, then you're welcome to put a request in there, and I will do my very best to accommodate while I'm hopefully in that area.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic. I love that.
I've got one more question for you, but before I do, I have to make a comment. And I just was thinking about this with somebody else I just met. So as you get older, and you'll see as you get older, you start looking at life differently and looking at people differently. And getting somebody young like you who's done as much as you've done, I just want to say, as a parent, you're like what parents hope for. That you would be that successful and be that smart and really, you know, moving in the right direction and putting things together. So super awesome.
Still very down to earth.
Yeah. Super awesome. And your parents must be super proud.
Thank you.
So my question for you is, if you were to go back to your 10-year-old self, so now we're going way back, you go back to your 10-year-old self, what would you tell your 10-year-old self based on everything you've done and learned? What one thing would you tell your 10-year-old self?
Oh, my 10-year-old self, I would probably say that all of the things that seem really big are actually very small. And I know that sounds crazy for me to say that, but trust me, I have 21 years on you at that point. And all of the little things, whether it was as a teenager or a very young adult, that I thought were huge, big deterrents in my life, you get past them, and I promise they're not that big. So just keep pushing forward and know that you will get through all of the hard times.
That's great stuff. And Jordan, I wish for you and your family some amazing adventures as you continue on down the road. And then I wish for you that you take all that collective good stuff, and when you go back to put down roots, it just really deepens who you are as a family and what you all do moving forward.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, we're about a month into this trip and it's been pretty exciting thus far. And we have about another 5. So I'm excited to see how it pans out and all the people we get to meet and educate. So it's going to be exciting. Yeah.
Many more experiences ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really good information. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you again for having me.
All right. We'll see you.